Good evening, Facebook, and welcome to my world, a live, laugh, or whatever with Stu Scheer. And I am Michael Bejas, your producer. Anyway, you come on over to the Trim Radio Network, where you can listen in. We can also send text messages. We broadcast live all over the world. If you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us, and we'll show you how easy it is to do. Anyway, with that said, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. And that includes any medical and health professional advice. We always want you to refer back to your primary physician or medical professionals. That song right here, Leave It to Beaver. Oh, great old song, covered under our BMI music license, 615-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. And with that, without further ado, I give you to Stu.
Hey, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well today and putting up with all of the smoke out of the Canadian Rockies. Woo! I'll tell you what, I was trying to find some stuff today concerning the air quality index just for my area. And instead of being halfway decent like it normally is, it just got worse. Oh, wow. Something else. Well, hey, you know, Michael, I forgot to do my disclaimer, so I'm going to say your disclaimer was just as good. And so we'll use it. We'll use my disclaimer when we get to Money and Change on Sunday at 7 p.m. But anyhow, guys, welcome to my world, live, laugh, and whatever. I've got a whole cornucopia. Boy, that's a big word, a cornucopia of information tonight. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there going on. And I'll tell you what. We just have to take some time, sit back, laugh a little bit, kick back, try to understand everything that's going on and figure out how the heck we can survive it. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to trimradio.com. Check us out. We've got Fishing in Florida with Rascala, and he has a great show there. We have Money and Change, which is what I do on Sundays at 7 p.m. We've got Weekly Music Countdown, that's the Nixie.
Hey,
and we have the Natural Marketer Podcast. We also have Take Point 22 with Michael Bejas.
We sure
and
do.
And, of course, we've got My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. We have the Brighter Life Show, The Bend, the Spiritual Freedom Show, and Rascala's Red Pill Reality Show. He always says you can take the blue pill or you can take the red pill. I want the green pill. He hasn't found the green pill yet. Holy cow. Rascala, get on a ball. I love the guys. We have some great, great people that have great shows. I have so much fun with Michael. We've been doing this for quite a while. We have fun. If we didn't have fun, we wouldn't be doing it. Well, hey, guys. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. I want to talk about smog and the weather and how about what happened back when and local and national politics. I don't get into politics that much, but when we start talking about taxes and stuff like that, yeah. How about what's in your wallet? Remember that one? There was a credit card company that said, what's in your wallet? Well, in today's situation with the way the economy is, it's getting less and less and less. You know, some people open up their wallets and moths fly out. Or somebody can squeeze a nickel so hard they get 12 pennies. Trust me, I know a guy like that. Anyhow, we've got some humor in here too. So we've got a pretty good setup for tonight. I always have to do shout outs. Always. And a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show, putting up with my antics. And like I said, we got a lot of great guys. But, you know, to keep those great guys on the air, you got to buy the merchandise. Help us out. I have fun doing the show. I don't get paid a cent for doing this. I do all the research and everything. I want to try to help people out, try to make people laugh, have a little bit of fun. And everybody else has the same type of attitude. We want to help people. And if we can do that, then we've done our job. So buy the merchandise, or the merch, as they call it. I've heard that from Michael several times, and lately I've heard it on the radio. You know, buy the merch, buy the merch. Well, what is the merch? I guess it's merchandise. And we have some good stuff. I mean, you can buy mugs, you can buy all kinds of stuff. Just check us out, trimradio.com, and shop. Every little bit helps, trust me. Well, we've also got the University of Findlay, and it's summertime up at the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. That stands for education. Anyhow, check them out. Dr. Kathy Phil, oh, would you know I would mess her up? Tongue-tied. Kathy Fell, F-E-L-L. Great person. Great faculty up at the University of Findlay. Great students. They're from all over the world. I mean, they have a lot of different students from all over the world, plus a lot of them from here in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana, and Kentucky. Check them out. Excellent facilities. NCAA Division II school. Great basketball. Great football. Great track. Great wrestling, equestrian studies. You can get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or doctoral degrees. Hey, I'll tell you what, it's a good school. And I'm partial. I know I went there, but that was way back when. I think Methuselah graduated just the year before I did. But anyhow, it's a good school, and the city of Findlay, Ohio, is a nice town. It really is. It's right off of I-75. So check out the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Tell Dr. Fell I said hi. Going on, we have Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks added the blanks to it. And what's a blank? The blank is the middle part of a pen, which is basically what I'm showing here. And he does all the artwork and stuff in coordination with people that want the certain type of pen made. And he's good. He does a lot of other stuff too. But it's Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And that's R-U-S-T-Y-D-U-K, apostrophe S, Custom Pens and Blanks, B-L-A-N-K-S. If you have a college, university, business, high school, anything, and you want a custom pen made, Phil will do it. Very reasonable price. And everything comes out of the shop perfect. Or as they'd say in New Jersey, perfect. It's perfect. I tell you, it's perfect. He does an excellent job. Trust me. Both Michael and I have pens from Phil. They are excellent pens. He just does a really good job. So check him out. That's Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. Well, you know, a big shout out to Money and Change, because we're going to be on this Sunday. Barring any bad weather, you know, the last 2 weeks, we've had some nasty weather. And either Michael's had bad weather or I've had bad weather. And we don't want to have computers just suddenly blow up on us. I mean, Michael built a beautiful computer. I'll take pictures and put it on the Trim Radio Network page that I've got for my world. And I might even put it up on the other Facebook page that we have for Money and Change. It's been running great. He asked me every time, how's it running? How's it running? Well, it's running good. And I love the color coming out of the fans. It's got so many fans on it to keep it cool. I've never had a computer with that many fans before. I mean, and the colors are out of sight. Well, anyhow, thank you, Michael, for doing that. And I hope you cashed the check and it didn't bounce. Well, it shouldn't. Anyhow, a big shout out to my friends at YouTube. I've got the Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista. Check them out on YouTube. Great people. I've known them for years. The Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. Great people down in Wiggins, Mississippi. You have to check them out there. Great people. They have two farm sites now. One, they have their main site, which is 11, I believe it's 10 or 11 acres. And they've got that well developed there with a couple of nice ponds, what they call ponds. Here we would call them lakes. And then they have another location a couple miles down the road. And they've just started farming that. And this isn't all about farming because they talk about all kinds of things. And that's Danny and Wanda King over at Deep South Homestead. And Southern Prepper One, that's Dave Kobler. Boy, Dave was talking about radios today. And he was pointing out that there's MRS radios, there's FRS radios, there's GMRS radios, and there's ham radios. And I understand that, and some people don't. Well, I posted that video on the page for My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever, and I also posted it over on Money and Change because it's financially prepped, and communication is necessary if things go to you-know-what in a handbasket. And sometimes it's a large handbasket, and sometimes it's a small handbasket, but you have to be able to communicate. And some people have had problems with the internet lately, and some people have experienced, shall we say, hackers getting into different things. I've been hearing reports lately about hackers getting into the power grid or other things and really messing things up. And one of the things that was messed up yesterday happened to be refineries. Somebody got into a refinery and really messed things up with the computers, and their gas stations had to basically start writing out bills and receipts instead of using the computers, and they had to hand tally everything, and it was really a big problem. So make sure that your antivirus is up to date, your anti-malware is up to date, and make sure that you basically protect your equipment. I mean, that's what I do. I've got two different malwares that I can use. I keep one going, and I have a couple of different antivirus going, and the Windows Defender is one. But if something gets past Defender, I have another waiting in the lurch for it, if you know what I mean. So hopefully that will be enough. But he's talking about radios, and what I have are GMRS radios, and you have 28 different channels, some of which are repeaters, and they can cost $35 a piece and up. I've got two radios that have national emergency channels in there, and I can listen to them. I can't talk on them, but I can listen to them. And I've also got the GMRS channels. And I can listen to just about anything in the United States that uses the emergency channels. That was one reason why I bought them. And they're made by Wotion, or as they would say here, Ocean, and it's W-O-U-X-U-N or O-U-N, Wotion. And I've got another set that are B-Tech. It's the letter B and then T-E-C-H. And they're good. They're good for between 5 and 15 miles. And so if something goes bad, according to Dave Kobler, you can go ahead and take those radios and you can pass them out to your people on your block. If you have a block watch or relatives in your area or friends in your area, and they can keep those charged and they can communicate. And they're great. Dave had his GMRS radios. Of course, he's in a hilly country in South Carolina, up in the northern part of South Carolina. Matter of fact, he could probably sneeze over the hill and be in North Carolina. But Dave was explaining about the radios and so forth and how good they are for different things. And I'm partial to the GMRS radios. $35 for 10 years for a license. And you can take them with you. You can talk to different people if you want. You can use them for emergency radios. All kinds of stuff. And just check them out. But that's Dave Kobler on Southern Prepper One. And I've also got that put on Money and Change. I think Financially Prepped has his link to that show that happened today. And also on Live, Laugh, and Whatever. So that way you're up to date on communication, because cell phones may not work one of these days. And you don't have a ham radio license, and so you need to get out and talk. That's the way to do it. And you can listen to the weather radio and all kinds of things. I can listen to any FM radio that's in the area just by hitting a button. Of course, I have to remember which button to hit, but, you know, hey, that's just me. Also, Prepper Nurse One, Ed Carswell, he's down in West Virginia, and he's building his little, I'll call it a compound, but he's going to have places for people to camp and places for meetings and gazebos, if you want to call them that. He's a good guy. He really is. I've known him for a few years, and very good guy. He, by trade, was a nurse, an emergency nurse, and he was a traveling nurse, and excellent guy, excellent guy. Then we've got Nate, the Canadian prepper, and he likes to do gloom and doom. Check him out on YouTube. But all of the guys that I mentioned, whether it's Brad and Krista, Danny and Wanda King, Dave Kobler, Ed Carswell, hey, I'd love to have them as neighbors. I really would. Great people. Also, Goshen Prepping. It's up in Michigan, and Eric has that show, and boy, he's been talking up a storm on a lot of different things. He's very knowledgeable. I'd love to have him as a neighbor, too. Problem of it is, he's in Michigan, I'm in Ohio, and everybody else is either in South Carolina or West Virginia or the middle of Wisconsin, and that's Brad and Krista in the middle of Wisconsin. I guess it's planting season and growing season right now. We're up there. They're out of the mud season. And Wisconsin's neat. It's basically flat, at least the parts I've been in. Plenty of lakes. And it's nice to visit there in the summertime. I wouldn't go in the wintertime. Too much, shall we say, frozen slush for me. Anyhow, guys, that's what we've got with all of our shout-outs. How about the smog and weather? Have you experienced some of the stuff that we're getting? I'm trying to figure out the air index and everything, air quality index. You know, you look out, it's hazy. It was hazy here today. It's almost like a fog in a way. It's starting to lessen now that the sun is going down. And we got up to, I believe, 77 degrees or 82 degrees here in Midwestern Ohio, I'll put it that way. We're just north of Dayton, Ohio. But the air quality is not good at all. And everybody's having problems breathing. I mean, if you have an asthmatic condition, you know, asthma or other things, you would have problems being outside. Now, the air quality.
Hey, Stu. Right,
yes.
Turn your speakers down just a tad, not your mic, just your speakers.
My speaker down just a tad. I did.
Okay. right. I was getting a little bit of feedback, and I just didn't want it to.
Oh, your ears were popping?
They were.
Oh my God! Wow. Well, anyhow, meanwhile, let's get back to air quality since I'm on that topic right now. And I don't know how Michael's air is, but here, like I said, we've got all that particulate matter in the air. It's coming from wildfires out in Canada. It's also coming from wildfires in the U.S. And that's what scares me.
Were Self-started.
Self-started. All right. Yeah, sure. I looked at the map, Michael. And when I was looking at that, they were showing all these different places. Of course, I was looking at CNN. But the air quality index that's good is up around Massachusetts and Maine and all of that. And then you come down to our area, of course, where you're at moderate. We're in unhealthy for sensitive groups and up to unhealthy. Basically, we're unhealthy. Actually, our count is over 201. And then you go out west and it's fairly good. But these fires supposedly just happened naturally. But somebody had videos that actually showed fires going off at the same time in different places. I kind of wonder about that, guys. And when you take a look at forest fires and everything, sometimes people practice very good control with dead leaves and branches and so forth, and they take care of that, or they do special burns in an area. But when you get up into the big timber areas up in Canada, I don't think the Canadians do that as much as they do like in California. I think when they remember to do it in California. Well, anyhow, the air quality index right now, today, which is June 28th, is very unhealthy. And the air quality index right now for my area is 218. And the parts per micrometer, I was going to say millimeter, but it's micrometer, which is even smaller, are very unhealthy. That's at 218. Particulate matter, that's inhalable pollutant particles with a diameter of less than 10 micrometers. It's very unhealthy. It's 158. Ground level ozone. Well, it aggravates existing respiratory diseases, according to the chart that I'm looking at for AccuWeather. And the O3 is poor. The nitrogen oxide is poor. Of course, carbon monoxide is excellent. Yeah, right. Who wants to breathe carbon monoxide? And then the sulfur dioxide is excellent. Well, I don't want to breathe sulfur dioxide either. But the weather is, well, I'm going to say it, it's crappy, okay? If you have to breathe this stuff, it is not good for you. Stay inside if you can. Sometimes, you know, they do make charcoal-infused masks. And I'll tell you what, Dave Kobler on Southern Prepper One, he had a forest fire close to his place in South Carolina, and he had a special mask that he got that filters out all of the particulates in the air, and it's carbon-based, charcoal-based, and you might want to try it. Now, you could probably go to Amazon and see what they have. It's better than an M95 mask from what I've read. So be careful out there. Don't overexert yourself. Make sure you're drinking plenty of liquids. Make sure you rinse your eyes out once in a while because that particulate's there. And hopefully we get some rain on those fires because it's bothering everybody. I felt it today when I went out for lunch. And even though it was in an air-conditioned building, people were going in and out, and I still had to go out to my car, got in the car, turned the air conditioning on, and made it through that part of the day. I drink plenty of water, and there's a reason for it, especially with particulates. You know, I've had my air conditioner on. I've got an air purifier going. I've got other fans trying to circulate things. All my windows are closed. I don't need to be out in that particulate. Well, another thing I wanted to cover was, how about then and now? You notice in some of the big cities, they have people either rioting or they have people stealing stuff out of stores or beating up on people. I mean, I see it on Twitter. And they don't really say, oh, this happened today or yesterday, but that shows a chain of events. And I wonder if it's due to people getting the jab or it was other types of medications or lack of that caused the problem. But society isn't civil as much anymore. People get really irritated. And I don't know why they get irritated. Are you experiencing that? I don't know. I go out and I'm nice. And the area where I live, everybody is nice. They're not rioting. They're not stealing a bunch of stuff. But in the big cities, for example, I was reading something about, what was it? Walgreens slashes earnings guidance, blames cautious consumers not buying as much. I could go over that. There are other stories. I think I've got some for Sunday about the way they're closing large stores in Chicago, you know, like Walmart and Sears, or not Sears, but Walmart and Walgreens and places like that. They can't take the shrinkage. In other words, what's happening? People go in and they steal stuff, walk out the door, and they're not stopped. And so they're experiencing anywhere from between maybe 12 to 20% in shrinkage, and they can't afford that in business. And so when their leases are up, they're leaving. I don't blame them. Where I live, we have very little of that. And that's a good thing. Occasionally I'll see some cops out at Wally World. Because they have, I think, more than normal. The other stores here in town, we don't have that problem because people are civil. They behave themselves, you know, rule of law type thing. And then you get some that misbehave and, you know, they deserve what they get when they get caught. But people need to sit back and chill out. You know, I almost think that years ago, stores used to be open Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday they were closed, except for a couple of gas stations, and it was on a rotating business deal. And you couldn't go to a pharmacy because they were closed. The grocery stores were closed, or maybe just one grocery store, and they rotated who was going to be open when, like the gas stations. But basically, Sunday, everybody just stayed home or visited their relatives and chilled out. And I think we need more of that. And people just get way too upset with stuff that's going on. In my location where I live, the latest thing on Facebook was a 5% tax on your license tags, which here in Ohio, it can be done. But they have known for a whole year that they needed to do it. And instead of bringing it up at a city commission meeting earlier in the year, they didn't do it. They waited till the very last minute and voted it in. And I don't know if they had citizen input or not. But I know if I was going to get a $5 additional tax, I would want to know in advance what it is. I like to budget my money, and you know, we can get into that in money and change. But these little sneak up attacks on taxes, and a lot of people here in town were upset because they didn't bring it to the public. Instead, the commission just said, okay, this is it. And I guess the city manager just said he forgot. Well, you can't do that with taxes. You have to have a lot of input. And people were, you know, on Facebook, and they were talking about all this stuff and trying to stir things up. And they went to a site where you can look up everybody's salary. And they said, oh, this person's making X, Y, and Z. Okay. Was there a breakdown in that salary? They had one guy that was, he was a computer person, a very smart person. I've known the guy for years. But he was supposedly making $200,000 a year. Wrong. It was his retirement package that was added into everything. And this site just looks at the grand totals. It doesn't look at all of the other associated things, because you have your base salary, and then you have your overtime, and you know, anything else that's accrued with vacation leave and all that kind of stuff. And this all builds up, and the final total is this big number. But they didn't see it that way. And people were asking me about it. I said, if you really knew how that came to be and all those numbers, then you would say, okay, that's like somebody working in a restaurant, and then there's matching state and federal taxes you have to, you know, pay, and you know, matching stuff for retirement and everything else. And when you add all this together, then they have a gross salary, and you subtract out the different categories that you need, including retirement, and then you get the net, the bottom line. Anybody that's done profit and loss statements would understand that. Obviously, there were some people that decided to make a big deal out of it when, in reality, if they knew the makeup of it, maybe that $200,000 was only, I'm going to say, $50,000, $60,000 to begin with. The rest of it was accrued time and vacation, whatever. But people go off the deep end, and they like to stir things up, and it's like, chill out. Know the numbers. Know what's going on. And they say, well, oh, they violated this. They violated that. Okay. If you're going to go and say that the city government violated something, you better have proof. Total proof. Show me. Like you're in Missouri, you know, the show me state. Show me everything that they did wrong and where it relates to law. If you can't do that, then you have no gripe. Now, with the city, I would say you need to communicate better than what you've done. And just throwing things on a website doesn't necessarily cut the mustard. And you need to have your commissioners spend time with the people in their area talking to them, to see how they feel about that one tax or whatever it would be. That's only common sense. So hopefully they can get everything taken care of, so we don't have a lot of, I call them snipers, on Facebook. Facebook is good, but sometimes, I don't know, I kind of wonder. Well, anyhow, guys, that's kind of like the local stuff. I don't really get involved in politics. My God, I used to work with a bunch of politicians at the state level. And now that I'm retired, I don't have to. I don't have to put up with it, you know. And that's a good thing. there was a Pogo, was a cartoon character, and they said they met the enemy and they is us. I don't know. Some politicians are pretty nice people. And then there's, well, okay, we won't go there. Anyhow, the other thing we were going to talk about, what is in your wallet, you know, what's left in your wallet? And, you know, I started doing some things. How about 1960s versus today? And that was done by AARP, believe it or not. And the article that I looked at, it said the sun always rises, and so you do the cost of items. And in fact, buying power of a dollar 50 years ago is now equivalent to $7.65. Take a walk down memory lane with these interesting facts. Gas. In 1964, a gallon of gas was around 25 cents, while today it hovers towards $3.50. Cars. In 1960, the average cost of a new car was approximately $2,600, while today it's about $30,000. Groceries. The price of chicken was around 29 cents a pound in the 60s, and it costs $1.54, probably $2 now, a pound. And ground beef went from an average of 45 cents a pound to $4.13. And peanut butter used to cost approximately 80 cents per jar. Now it's $2.71. I've seen some as high as $3.25 a jar, a big jar, but it was still a jar. And in movies, in 1960s, it cost less than a dollar to go to a movie. Today, the admission is basically $10. I remember going to Sunday matinees or Friday night and Saturday matinees, and it was like a quarter, 35 cents. But you got the B-run movies, you know, the ones that were not prime time material. And they were kind of hokey to begin with. But when, for example, Blazing Saddles came out, oh, that was a funny one. It's a Mel Brooks. Okay, Mel Brooks was pretty decent back in my day. Anyhow, the cost then would be $2, $3, you know, to go see a Mel Brooks movie. It was always, I called it good comedy. It was funny. It was slapstick, but it was good comedy. And the popcorn was reasonably priced, and the pop, now it's ridiculous. And that's how they make their money, not necessarily on the tickets, but that they make it on the popcorn and the pop and the candy and everything else. And you go in, next thing you know, a family of four is probably going to run you $50, $60, especially when the little kid's jerking on you. I want some candy, Daddy. I want some pop. Oh, mom says, I want some popcorn and lots of butter. Boy, doctors and nurses are probably grabbing their chest when you say, I want popcorn with lots of butter. Soak it in butter. Or just caramel corn. It's too expensive. How about college? Once you adjust for inflation, the price of tuition has more than tripled from 1973 to 2013. For example, the tuition at the University of Pennsylvania was $1,200 in 1960, and today it's $42,176. Now, when I was in Michigan, I went to Hillsdale College just to visit. I couldn't afford it. And at the time that I looked at Hillsdale College, which is a private school, conservative school, it was around $48,000 a year for a student. And when I went to the University of Findlay, which was a private conservative school, it was $1,800 a semester. and look at it now. It's around $42,000, $43,000, or maybe up to $46,000 a year per student. But they give out scholarships. And I always tell people when they go there, check with your counselor about scholarships, because you could probably get a very good scholarship up there. You'd have to work for it, but you could still get a scholarship. And University Finley has some great scholarships. I've known some scholarships to go as high as $20,000. And that's a good thing. Well, hey, let's go on to income. Back in 1960, the median annual income for the family was $5,620 versus $51,371 in 2012. And the minimum wage went from $1.15 in 1964 to $7.25. And that was federal beginning in 2009. And now it's about $15 in some places. And you can't get people to work for anything under 12. And the home median price, back in 63, was $18,000 for a home. And now it's around $215,000. And that's 50 years ago. We used to have pay phones and all kinds of stuff. But you see how inflation has grown and grown and grown? You go to the grocery store and you have $100. And you're pushing the cart around. Hey, what do you get for that $100? It depends on how you spend it. And spend it wisely. People don't have the money that they had a few years ago. And everything's getting more and more expensive. So what do you do? I've told people time and time again, pay down your debt. Why pay interest? Pay it off. Put some money aside. Buy some long-term food. Go to the grocery store. And stock up on canned goods, canned meats, canned vegetables, excuse me. This weather is something. I need to drink more water. Triple filtered. The local water here, even with a brand new water plant, it tastes like chlorine. And I have to run it through filters. And I use a Berkey system. And it's great. I don't taste any of the chlorine because it's out of the water. A lot of the contaminants are out of the water. It's good stuff. Get a Berkey filter. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. The water does not go from the tap to my mouth. It goes to the filter first, okay? I've had a Berkey filter for a long time. You get about 3,000 gallons use. And for drinking water, I'm still not to that 3,000 gallon limit, even though I drink a lot of water. But you have to be able to purify water and store water. I mean, I've got 255 gallon drums of water, and this summer I'm going to purge that water and put in fresh new water. And then I can run it through the Berkey system again, and I'm going to be fine. And, did we talk about the big health problem down in Texas City, Texas? It's around Houston, Galveston area. And they had a problem at one of the refineries down there. And they said, everybody stay inside. Close your windows and doors. Because we have an evacuation plan for the immediate area for the refinery. Something went wrong and some gases got out. And due to a leak. And that can be bad. At Texas City, a long time ago, they had a ship that came in with ammonia or fertilizer or something, and it exploded. And they found a ship propeller a couple of miles from the port. and a lot of buildings were leveled. And years ago, I used to go down to Houston and then down to Galveston, and it was a fun area, fun time for me to be. And I would go in, like November, or else I'd go in maybe March or April down there, and I'd have a good time. Well, we'd go out to Galveston, and we'd go to the Strand and different places. And I was reading the history, and the bishop's house was there, and you could take tours through that. It's a neat area. Just you have to be careful when you're walking on the beach because there are tar balls, and they'd be covered in sand. And you step brand new shoes, and you step in that stuff, and you cannot get that stuff off your shoes. You might as well throw the shoes away and get new shoes. Because the offshore drilling rigs, you can see them just almost to the horizon, and with their flame towers going and everything, and some of the ships coming in and out. Well, anyhow, they had this problem in Texas City where the refineries are. And I watched a video of a helicopter. They did the newscast about it, and then they were flying this helicopter around and around and around that refinery. Are you prepared for an emergency like that? They tell you to stay inside. Do you have food? Do you have ways to cook it? Do you have water? You have to think about all this stuff, and you have pr to prepare. And if you're not doing it, you better do it. If the economy crashes in, hypothetically, I'm going to say August, September, October, or November, and the dollar is worth tiddly squat, and you know what that means, it's not worth anything. How are you going to survive? Do you have food to live on until they can get things straightened around? Think about it. Well, I don't make that much money. Okay. Live beneath your means. Don't go out and eat every day. Cook inside. Cook at home. Change your meals around. Eat more vegetables. And save up money to go get a couple extra cans of food every week. And if you start now, by October, you'll be fine. And you can go to the dollar store, which is now the $1.25 store, or you can go to other places and you can get good canned goods. Just make sure they're not dented. Check the dates on the cans. If it's cans, generally they're good for 5 to 6 years. Eric will tell you a lot longer than that. Okay. And you can get stuff like that. But things are going to get bad. And when they happen, like down in Texas at Texas City, I didn't know that that had happened. And I just saw it today. And I'm thinking, oh, those poor people down there having to stay inside. And Texas is hot to begin with. It's probably going to be 100 degrees, 102, 105, 110, depending on where you're at. It depends on the amount of wind coming off the Gulf of Mexico. There are a lot of what ifs, but you better have backup power. You better have extra batteries. You better have fans. You better have a workable air conditioning system. Summer in Texas without air conditioning, it's hotter than you know what. And I can't say, because Michael would probably say, that's it, you're off for a week. We can't talk to you. I don't want to do that because I bring you information that is very important. We were talking about lists of taxes. I think I'm going to do that Sunday because we've got, oh, probably about 10 minutes. And I don't want to get everybody all roiled up. Except for those people here in my town that don't like the $5 fee for the license tags, especially when they're going to go supposedly to new signs, new road signs. I don't know. I don't think I could put up with that. The city makes their own signs anyhow, so why come up with something special? Well, there's so much going on out there, and it is. And hey, it's Wednesday, and we've got Thursday and Friday to put up with, and then we've got Saturday, and then we have Money and Change on Sunday. I've got a bunch of stuff to go over for Money and Change. So much stuff. And if you're not preparing and you're not saving your money, you're in trouble, and it's going to get worse if you don't have spare change or money put away someplace where you know you can get it in an emergency. You're going to need it, because down in Texas, with some of the filling stations down there, and it's not due to the emergency, they were hacked. And as a result, their computer systems aren't working, or at least they weren't working as of when we came on the air. And so now they're taking cash only. And think, if the ATMs aren't working and you don't have cash to pay for gasoline, you don't have cash to pay for food. I have to think about that, guys. Well, you know, last week we were talking about Rodney Dangerfield, and I'm on a kick for Rodney because he's interesting. And he has some very good material, I'll put it that way. He said, "My uncle's dying wish was to have me sitting in his lap. Problem of it was, he was in the electric chair. One day as I was coming home from work early, I saw a guy jogging, no clothes on. He said, 'Hey, buddy, why are you jogging without your clothes?' He said, 'Because you came home early.' He said, 'My luck is so bad that if I bought a cemetery, people would stop dying.' He said, 'I came from a real tough neighborhood. I put my hand in some cement and felt another hand.'" Ooh, must have been New York. He says, "I get no respect. The way my luck is running, if I was a politician, I would be honest." Just his luck, yeah. Especially from New York or even New Jersey. "I had plenty of pimples as a kid. One day I fell asleep in the library, and when I woke up, a blind man was reading my face." I can't believe. But I did hear a good one. And a blind guy actually told me this joke, one of the guys that I was working with. And he said, a blind guy goes into a restaurant with his buddy, and he asks the buddy for a menu. Well, since it was a Jewish delicatessen, his friend gave him a sheet of matzah, Jewish cracker type thing. And he's feeling the matzah. He says, "Who the heck wrote this menu?" Only those guys. Great sense of humor, great people. I really love them. I worked with them for 17, 18 years, and we had a great time. On Halloween, the parents sent their kids out looking for me instead of him looking for them. Oh, well, hide and seek in reverse. He says, "What a dog I got. His favorite bone is in my arm." Have you ever had one of those? A friend of mine had a German Shepherd one time. And I went to pet him, and he actually put his mouth around my wrist to say, "I'm in charge, so you better behave." Eventually, he'd let me pet him, but that's just the way he was. Rodney Dangerfield said, "I dated a girl. She called me on the phone and said, 'Come over. There's no one home.' When I went over, there was no one home." Have you ever gotten calls like that? He said, "I go to bed with two girls. That way, when I fall asleep, they can talk to each other." Only Rodney could say that. Only Rodney. Well, guys, it's a crazy world out there. No matter how we talk about what's going on and what's happening, and you take a look at YouTube and you take a look at Twitter, or you take a look at a lot of other informational sources, It's not always as bad as what you have it. And you have to be optimistic about what's happening. The biggest thing is, and I'm not kidding, the biggest thing is to keep a level head, chill out, and always do the right thing. And if you do that, you don't have any problems. And that's one of the biggest things. And if you treat people like you want to be treated, things go a lot better. And I don't care if you're religious or not religious, go to church or think nice thoughts. But treat people as you would want to be treated, and it all works out fine. And Michael will attest to that because I heard him go,
I'll tell you what, you always treat people the way you want to be treated.
Exactly. And I'm going to treat you so nice. And in your honor, I'm going to go to Sweet Treats right after the show, and I'm going to have some ice cream. I would gladly share it with you, but you're in South Carolina, and it would turn to soup by the time it got there. So I'll enjoy it for you.
It sounds good. Go and enjoy. Have a good time. And I'll tell you what, we'll catch you all on Sunday.
See ya.
Bye, y'all. Take care, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Stu, I'll tell you, ice cream. What kind of ice cream?
Oh, I don't know. I got my choice. They have several different varieties there. I don't know. I might just get a shake that's Reese's Pieces and chocolate ice cream. Let's see if I can get a chocolate high.
Now, do you still have Baskin-Robbins up there?
No, this is just like a little Dairy Queen stand that's next door, or actually just the town next to us, called Covington, Ohio. And it's called Sweet Treats. And there are a lot of people standing out in front right now.
Ice cream.
Ah, yes, you scream ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. All right, guys, that's all I have for Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And we will see you all on Sunday at 7 p.m. for Money and Change. See ya.
Take care, Stu. God bless. Y'all be good to one another out there. Please watch over one another. And I'll tell you what, enjoy. Enjoy everything that you're given in today's world. Don't look at the bad. Just try to remember to focus on the good things that you have. Be it a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table. Those are the things to cherish. Those are the things that are important. So I'll tell you what, God is good. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And we'll see you on Sunday. And you all take good care. Bye-bye now.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to the Trim Radio Network. And we're ever so grateful to all of you. So with that, and as Stu knows, I wish you adieu, Stu.
You too.
I know my voice is still scratchy. Anyway,
it's the weather.
Yeah, it is. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.